Tonight's presentation is sponsored by Chani and Simcha Axelrod, in memory of Chani's father, Rabbi Aaron Fruchter, Shmuel Aaron, Rabbi Shmuel Aaron ben Ephraim Fischel. We hope that in the merit of the Torah that we learned tonight, in Hashem Shav and Aliyah. As many people here know, I was zocha to learned Torah from Avraham Lichtenstein for my year in the Gruz Kolo, and many, many summers that had the privilege to hear Divrei Chizuk from him and speak to him on the NCSY Kolo. And I'll just introduce Rav Rosenzweig with the piece of Torah from Rav Aaron that I heard from Rav Aaron that really affected me deeply. I think it represented a big facet of who he was, and certainly who, as we read in this coming week's parsha, Ela told us Aaron and Moshe, and then it only lists the children of Aaron. As I'll say, Hamalamed es ben chaveru Torah ki yulado. We have this chus tonight to hear from Rav Rosenzweig, who drank from the Torah of Rav Lichtenstein. Torah considers Chazal considered like a ben bayis, like a member of the family. To be able to hear those divrei bracha, I think these words are very appropriate as well. Rav Aaron commented on the fact that Chazal in various places compare Torah to water and to milk in Mayim Ela Torah. Dvash to chalav, tachas l'shonech, and also to dvash, to honey, and to wine. Gemara in Tainus, other places. So Rav Aaron developed the idea that Torah has a dual function for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. On the one hand, Torah is like water. You can't live without water. Water is a bare subsistence good. Milk is what a baby grows up on. A baby can't go from being a baby to growing, to be nurtured without milk. So Torah, on the one hand, has an aspect for the Jew that it should be something that he feels that he can't live without. There can't be a day without the study of Torah. There can't be a child can't grow into a man without the study of Torah. On the other hand, Torah is also wine or honey, which are luxury goods. These are things that bring a person heightened levels of simcha and joy and ecstasy, and where he gets his special enjoyment out of. And I was very moved by this piece of Torah, and certainly it's who Rav Aaron was in terms of his incredible daily commitment, his regimen, his hasmada, and also his brilliance, his excitement, his raising up his students with the greatness of Torah. And that's, of course, why he thought there were two Birchas HaTorah. La'asok b'divrei Torah represents the ideal of the day in and day out theme of Torah, and Asher Baruch Arbonu Mikol Ha'amim and Aslanos Torah So represented the other aspect, the Dvash, the Yayin. And so we've all been, I know, thinking so much about the Rebbe during these weeks. We just had commemorated the Shloshim this week, so we thought it very, very appropriate to ask Rav Rosenzweig Shlita to come and to speak about Chachmei HaMesorah and to share some thoughts in commemorating the Shloshim of Rav Lichtenstein. Please give your attention to Rav Rosenzweig.
First of all, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to come here before Chag HaShavuos. I've done it in the past. Of course, it's a little bit tinged with sadness, obviously, in terms of the theme and the topic. But at the same time, with a sense of nechama as well. There is some controversy in the halacha about the propriety of having a formal azkara to memorialize Niftar, or to have even Divrei Hesped, so close to a Yom Tov. And particularly, as now we're in the Yemei Hagbalah, really on the threshold of the time of Kabbalah Satorah, so in theory, that could pose a problem, or at least would be subject to controversy. But it's obvious that reflections on the unique contributions of Chachmei HaMesorah, of those special individuals who not only carry forward the traditions of Klal Yisrael, the halacha, which was intended to be conveyed as Torah Shebaal Peh, therefore there's a built-in reliance on that special cadre that every generation emerges as the ambassadors of Torah, the conveyors of Torah. But it's clear that their contributions generally as a group and each one individually to the legacy of Maimed Har Sinai, the Hachana to Har Sinai, the experience of receiving the Torah, the content of the Torah, both Kabbalah Satorah and the Sina Satorah, in all of its different dimensions, is so fundamental and so definitional that it renders this particular issue this evening moot. Indeed, I would say that I can't imagine a more appropriate convergence than sharing some thoughts about this core theme of Torah, the idea of Chachmei HaMesorah and the role that they play, and who exactly they are, especially as it relates to one of the towering Talmidei Chachamim of our own generation, Mori V'Rabbi of our Liechtenstein, Zatzal, whose recent Petira leaves such a void in the hearts and in the lives of his Talmidim, but also by extension, Talmidei Talmidim in our entire community, indeed, for those who are sensitive, all of Klal Yisrael. By definition, Chachmei HaMesorah are unique individuals, singular. They can't be replaced. They are inimitable, just by the very nature and definition of what they are, as we'll describe. But for the very same reason, understanding them and understanding their legacy secures their continued impact and their continued presence in the sense of Dmus Dyukno Shel Abba, spiritual fathers, Vishinantam Levanecha as well, the concept of Sifso Sehem, Dovros Bekever, the idea that they continue to speak to us loud and clear, not because we're delusional, but because the Torah they impart is so meaningful and relevant and alive and impactful, even transforming upon Talmidim and the extended community, that their communication doesn't end when their life on this earth ends. The insights and the impact of those insights going forward, the ripple effect, as I like to call it, is something which continues l'dore doros. It becomes part of the fabric of what Torah is. Not only the specific insights in Divrei Torah, though thankfully and necessarily that as well, because it has to radiate out from specific content, from the engagement of Havayas Davaya V'Rava on a daily basis. But beyond that, as we'll discuss, the Hashkafas Achaim, the Weltanschauung, the worldview of such individuals, their inspiring holistic persona, that in particular is something which continues and which continues to inspire. That's particularly the case in the case of Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Liechtenstein, Zatzal, whose legacy particularly accentuates not only his range and his scope and his greatness in learning in Yiras Shamayim, but who is particularly noteworthy also for his seamless capacity to integrate a wide mastery of different subjects, a capacity to balance a wide range of different values and considerations, but all of which stemmed from a very simple and very basic identity as someone who just in the mirror saw himself as an Oved Hashem, suffused with Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and everything that they imply. What do I mean when I speak of Chachmei HaMesorah, and I suggest this application? And how does this concept impact on content and the life of an Oved Hashem and of a community that is dedicated to Talmud Torah? So let me begin very briefly with the Gemara in Masechet Psachim. Gemara in Psachim, Daf Samachesel at base, speaks about the general idea of Yom Tov, Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the question of balance on those days. For all we know that Yahadus is a very this-worldly religion, right, in which Seudos and Simcha can take physical expressions as well. And yet, of course, at its core, it's a spiritual way of life. It's a way of relating to and becoming and developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakas es Yisrael, lefikach hirbalem Torah mitzvos. Torah mitzvos, though, are addressed to human beings. Gemara in Masachet Shabbos, which is prominent in its discussion of Maimed Har Sinai, quotes the famous Medrash on different variations of this, how the Malachi Ashares came to the Rabbonu Shalom and complained, why is he wasting the Torah on human beings with all of their, you know, faults and all of their weaknesses, all of their foibles? And of course, that's exactly why the Torah is given to human beings, because it addresses physical life as well, its ambition, its capacity to ennoble, to raise people up to a high spiritual level, right, includes the capacity to mekadesh etzachol. And therefore, like every other aspect of Yahadus, you have to try to define, have to try to calculate the spiritual, physical balance in Shabbos and in Yom Tov, in Kedushas HaZman as well. And the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Samachesud Beis, analyzes this problem, develops the general machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, whether a typical Yom Tov, Yom Kodesh, is Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lashem, right? It's divided, not quantitatively, but at least it has equal components, or it's either Kula Lashem or Kula Lachem, a day of extremes or a balanced day. But in that context, it's very fascinating that when the Gemara speaks about Shavuos and Matan Torah, the Gemara tells us that Amar Rabbi Elazar, despite the general argument about the proper way, the appropriate way to spend the Yom Tov, the fact is that Hakol Modim Ba'atzeres Debeina Nami Lachem, even if there could be a more extreme expression of other Yom Tovim, Kula Lashem sounds like a no-brainer, right? Of course it should be Kula Lashem. When it comes to Shavuos, that would be an inappropriate way to spend the holiday. There needs to be a component of Lachem included together with the Lashem. And the Gemara says, why? We're all anticipating why that should be. My taima. And the Gemara answers very simply, Yom Shenitno Botoro. Because it's the day of Nesinas HaTorah. One would have thought, if you didn't have the first part of the Gemara, that would be the reason why there needs to be a component, at least, of Chatzi Lashem, maybe even a preferred component of Kula Lashem. Why is Lachem, right, the natural consequence of Yom Shenitnu Bo Torah? Obviously, a very different perspective on what Torah is, relating to that very Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, that we mentioned before. Indeed, the day of Chag HaShavuos is a day which really accentuates the human component in a way that transcends almost any other Yom Tov. That's very fascinating. The Korban, Shtei Alechem, which is brought in Shavuos, is a Korban which is Chametz, only Korban which is only Chametz. Korban Todah has elements of Chametz, which seems to be about the ability of unrestricted growth. But more than that, it's a korban in which there's no kmitza, there's no component of that korban which is burnt on the mizbeach, something which is extremely rare. That dafka, the korban, which defines Chag HaShavuos, and it's important to note, it's not for now, that in Parshas Emor, which is not the parsha of korbanos, it's the parsha which deals with the character of the Moadim. But dafka, when it comes to the holiday of Chag HaShavuos, the psukim accentuate the korban Shtei Alechem, as if to tell us that if you study carefully the Shtei Alechem, and especially the transition between the korban Omer and the korban Shtei Alechem, you'll understand with greater depth what this holiday, Chag HaShavuos, is really all about. And therefore, if there's no kmitza, if you don't throw a piece of korban Shtei Alechem on the Mizbeach, and if the Gemara in Pesachim tells us
it's a day which Lekula Alma, everybody agrees, needs to express Lachem. This is a pattern which we cannot ignore. The question is again, why? But in the end of the Gemara seems to suggest at least a direction. Gemara tells us in a very, very famous passage, again, that, see if I can find it here. Gemara here on Samech Chesed Beis says that Rav Yosef Biyoma Da'atzerta Amar Abdili Igla Tilsa. Make me a magnificent Seuda on the day of Chag HaShavuos. Amar explained, Ilo Hayoma the Kagarim Kama Yosef Ika Bishuka. Because if not for this day, this is Rav Yosef speaking, then I would simply be a regular Yosef in the Shuk. A regular Joe, as they say. Maybe that's where the expression came from, I'm not sure. In any case, what does this Gemara even mean? Obviously, the end of the Gemara is telling us that the human role of Chachmei HaMesorah in Torah is something which is an inherent part, an indispensable part of Chag HaShavuos. And there is a certain duality to this statement. On the one hand, what it establishes unequivocally is that Torah is a means to cultivate a special kind of persona, to make a special contribution to life, on a minimal level, to have a meaningful life. Again, Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakas Es Yisrael. Life without meaning is empty, as we know. The search for meaning is something which characterizes man because he has a Tzelem Elokim, right, in all cultures. But we know the answer as Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that is, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Yom HaShishi, right? Bereishis Bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim, Es Aretz, B'Shvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis. The Torah is the means for establishing that meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the capacity to have a meaningful life is contingent upon recognizing this opportunity and pursuing it fully. But to take it further, imagine if you can not only follow the Torah, right, and live according to its directives so that you can have what the Rambam calls the Achdus HaMaskil VaHamuskal, that can connect you to the Ribbono Shel Olam through the directed path that he himself has paved. Imagine if you could also contribute and be part of the tochen of Torah, that you could be an insider in that world, so that as the world continues, others benefit from your insights and your experience and your inspiration in Torah. That would certainly immortalize you and your legacy, but more than that, what could be more impactful and significant and meaningful than that? To expand the vehicle upon which meaning in the world is really predicated. So that on the one hand, Rav Yosef said, today is the day of Maimed Har Sinai, of Matan Torah. Today is the day which establishes the capacity of people to live meaningful lives, and singular individuals who are willing to invest, because remember, that the Keser Torah is Munach V'Omed Lakol, and it's Ola, Al Gabe, any other Keser. It's the most democratic of the crowns of the Torah, compared with kingdom and priesthood, but it requires tremendous work, toil, and investment. But if you do that, then the payoff is huge. You basically live an immortal life in terms of the meaning of your life and the contribution that is enduring that you continue to make. Therefore, Yosef said, make a suda today, because my niche in life is traced to that day of Maimed Har Sinai. But because that is true, part of that truth spills over in the opposite direction as well. It's not merely that Torah makes possible a physical, meaningful life and even an enduring and transcendent contribution. More than that, the idea is that the contribution expands Torah and its transcendence.
So in a way, it's not only that people in life depend on their Kabbalah Satorah, but the Torah itself depends on the perspective which perceives it that way, and which ultimately inspires that level of investment, immersion, and attachment. So if that's the case, we can understand very well why it is that Chag HaShavuos, for everyone, is a day which needs to express Lachem. Because the human input of Chachmei HaMesorah is something which defines and expands the Torah itself. Moreover, it reflects the scope and the transcendence of the Torah in its application. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal used to say that if he had to write an extra animamim beyond the ones that we have, it would be that there is no era, there is no climate, socially, culturally, historically, economically, in which Torah cannot be lived and cannot be lived maximally. The idea that the Torah can be applied to all circumstances and situations, as challenging as they may be, and that Jews, Ovdei Hashem, can flourish and can add to the Torah, as Chachmei HaMesorah do in all generations, is contingent upon there being Rav Yosefs who understand that if not for Torah, Kama Yosi Ika B'Shuka. In that sense, the Lachem, the idea that the human component is critical, is something which works in both directions to expand different aspects of Torah. If this is true, and human beings can add to the content of Torah and to the application of Torah life in every generation, then clearly these Chachmei HaMesorah who take the lead are inimitable. And of course, if that's the case, their loss is also irrevocable. Gemara says in Masechet Tmura, Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph, that the first of these, the paradigm, and more than the paradigm, obviously, because he's unique and singular, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, the Klal Yisrael were thrown into a kind of crisis in which they lost, at least temporarily, thousands of halakos. Again, there's much to say about this Gemara, it's not for now, but the idea is that the loss of one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, in this case the paradigm Chachmei HaMesorah, is an irrevocable loss. And memory alone is insufficient to keep that legacy alive. Gemara says in the end of that sugya that finally, the way that they were able to recover lost halachos was that Asniel ben Knaz hichziro or hashivo mitoch pilpulo. It's not enough to try to remember. It's more important to try to emulate and to continue the effort, the investment, and the task. Gemara says in Masechet Brachos also on a certain Tana who died, and once he died, his Talmidim all of a sudden became very disoriented and confused, and there was some issue relating to Berachas Hamazon and Zimun, and they didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do. Again, Gemara is basically telling us every one of the Chachmei HaMesorah is unique and singular, inimitable, irrevocable loss. But at the same time, that sense of uniqueness and singularity also makes every one of the Chachmei HaMesorah more memorable or more unforgettable, and secures that person's contribution and his legacy, the Dorei Doros. It's for that reason that Chazal tell us that while normally you don't make a hesped for a Talmud Chacham certain days of the year, Shchodesh, others, in some circumstances it would be permitted in the case of a Talmud Chacham. And the reason is, not simply because the loss is irrevocable, that wouldn't excuse violating the sanction against hesped and tainus and avel on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. But the idea is that the hesped of a Talmud Chacham, if it's done properly, if it zeroes in on what is singular about him, is really itself a kiyum in Talmud Torah. It's not just about a life. That would be enough. Every individual has Tzelem Elokim, and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that a mekayim nefesh achas b'Yisrael is kilu kiyem olam mole. Every person's loss is irrevocable. That's why his relatives tear a kriya she'enu misache, one which you can't even repair. But the loss of a Talmud Chacham temporarily is a loss of his Torah, but in the longer terms is a celebration of his contribution and his Torah. And therefore, proper hesped, proper reflection, proper assessment of who that person was, and that which makes possible his continued impact, is not merely Abel, it's actually Talmud Torah. There are rules for pidyon shvuyim. In other words, if a person is held captive, he's kidnapped. The Mishnah in Masechet Gittin talks about this, and the Gemara, when are you allowed to ransom him, and for what kind of sum? When are you allowed to mount a raid to rescue him? A very fascinating topic, not for now. But the Balei Tosfos suggest, because there are some Gemaras that imply, that sometimes these guidelines were not properly followed. Balei Tosfos explain that when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, somebody who makes a singular contribution, these rules don't apply. The question again is why? The Torah, the Halacha, is very democratic. In this respect, mostly it's very egalitarian. If there are good reasons to limit the way that we try to respond to hostage-taking, because we're concerned about deterrence and other such things, I want to bring other people into greater danger and vulnerability. Why should the fate of a Talmud Chacham be different? His Kedushas HaChayim is no different. No one ever said that the Dinim of Yeharik Bal Yavor are different for Talmud Chacham than anyone else. Right? It's my chazis damach didach sumak tvei. Everybody's blood is just as red as everybody else's blood. But the idea seems to be that when you're talking about the ransoming of a Talmud Chacham, you're not talking about him only as an individual. You're talking about his leadership. You're talking about the role that he plays, the guidance that he gives. The community itself is a different community without its halachic leadership. It's not about the sanctity of the individual. It's about the role that he plays, the expansion of Torah that he's responsible for, is really what is determinative in this particular case. According to Sugya of Bava Basra, the tax-paying status of a Talmud Chacham is different than others. Again, not because we discriminate per se, but because it's an understanding that having Talmid Chachamim in the city transforms the Jewish community, gives it a different kind of character, creates an interface between the spiritual Torah and the capacity to apply it to real and new and challenging situations. Zeh Sefer Toldot HaAdam, speak about each individual in that sense as somebody who's unique and special. That's true for every person who has Tzelem Elokim, but it's certainly true on the level of the expansion of Torah and the integration into the Torah of each and every Chachmei HaMesorah. Mori Barabi Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal used to be very critical of Hespedim that he heard in our generation. He used to say often that many of the Hespedim you hear about Chachmei Yisrael in our times are generic. Everybody's a tzaddik, and everybody's a Talmud Chacham, and everybody is a Gomel Chesed, and I'm sure it's all true. He wasn't suggesting Chas V'Shalom that it wasn't either. But he was critical that when people say Divrei Hesped, when they eulogize, when they try to assess people, you know, they kind of, instead of zeroing in on what is singular about their contribution of that Talmud Chacham, they kind of generalize and homogenize. They look for the lowest common denominator, not the most singular characteristic. I think at root of this criticism, not only an appreciation of Chachmei Yisrael per se, but an understanding that the stakes are higher when you assess a Talmud Chacham, because you're speaking not only about the greatness of his life, the sanctity of his life, but you're speaking about Torah itself, and the expanded contribution that he made. And consequently, the need to be accurate, and the need to be precise, and the need to zero in on what is singular becomes something that is all the more compelling. This idea of Chachmei HaMesorah is something which speaks to the capacity for greatness and singular contribution to the Mesorah that becomes part of the Mesorah itself. And is something which Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal used to speak about a lot as well. In the Igros HaGrid and Torah Shebaal Peh, he used to interpret the Rambam's comment in Hukos Tshuva, where the Rambam says that somebody who speaks improperly about Torah and about Talmidei Chachamim, somebody who's makhish magideha, someone who trivializes, or in some cases denies or neutralizes the contribution of Talmidei Chachamim, that person is a kind of a heretic. And the Rambam used to explain that that relates to the individual as one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, and the ineffable or transcendent contributions, not his formulation there, but my understanding of it, contributions that he makes. In other words, not denying his psakim, the things that we can all reconstruct or trace back to Torah itself, but the denial that such a person is more than the sum of his parts, and that Kedushas HaTorah is something that can express itself in expanding the individual, and in turn, therefore expanding the Mesorah as well. The list of Chachmei HaMesorah and Masechet Avos is understood exactly in that way. These are the individuals who not only represent the chain of conveying accurately the Mesorah, but who themselves became integrated into that process and very much a part of it. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his interpretation of the first Mishnah Avos, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, Mesorah Yoshua, Yeshua Liskenim, etc., speaks about this idea that transmitting the Mesorah is something which goes beyond information. He gives a couple of fascinating examples where Chachmei HaMesorah instinctively, based on their global understanding of Torah and their conviction about certain categories of Torah, came up with certain ideas which are normative, but which you wouldn't know if you were just collecting information. And that's because Chachmei HaMesorah represents a totally different concept. From the very earliest of my exposure to Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, as an impressionable 16-year-old, whose appreciation and affection, I have to say, only increased and intensified over the decades, despite the fact, but really more because of the fact, that I became more mature. You obviously adopt different perspectives based on your own development and exposures. But in these cases, deepen the impressions and the appreciation. I always associated Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal with this idea of Chachmei HaMesorah, and particularly with the image, which has been very powerful for me at least, of a walking Sefer Torah. The Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin, Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, raises the question whether a person should stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Gemara says here, Iboy Lehu, Mau Lamod, I'm sorry, whether a person should stand up for a Sefer Torah. Mau Lamod Bifnei Mipnei Sefer Torah. Should a person stand up in the presence of the Sefer Torah? The Gemara says, Rab Chilkia, Rab Simon, Rab Lazar Amri, Kal V'chomer. Mipneilom deha omdim mipaneha lo kol shekein? If you stand up for the people who study Torah, shouldn't you stand up for what they're studying, what makes them unique, namely for the Torah itself? However, there's another Gemara, and that is the Gemara in Masechet Makos. Mishnah in Makos, on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that Malkus, lashes, important onesh in the Torah, is to be given 39 times. Kama Malkin also, Arbaim Chasar Achas, Shanemar B'mispar Arbaim. The Torah makes it sound as if there are 40 Malkus. And the Mishnah says, you should know, the normative rule is that there are 39. Gemara says, why is this so? They explain where he gets it from, and then Rava makes a remarkable statement. Amar Rava, Kama Tipshoi Shar Inshi.
The kaimi mekami sefer Torah, velo kaimi mekama gavur rabba. Dila sefer Torah ksiv arbaim, v'asur rabbanan batzru chada. How foolish are people? They stand up for a sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for talmidei chachamim. The Torah seems to say that there are 40 malkus, but the talmidei chachamim ruled decisively that there are 39. Of course, there seems to be a contradiction between these two gemaras. The Gemara in Kedushin seems unequivocally to be telling us that it's more obvious that you stand in the presence of chefzah shel Torah, the Torah itself. The Gemara in Makkos seems to be saying that anybody who has that attitude is foolish. What's the kasav ashlishi hamachriya b'nei? The Ran in Kiddushin asks this question and suggests that really the Sefer Torah is more important, but what the Gemara in Makkos is telling us is Sefer Torah is worthless if you don't know its proper interpretation. And therefore, part of Sefer Torah integrates the role of talmidei chachamim. Certainly, that already is part of our message. But some of the mefarshim go even further. And some of them suggest that there are two types of talmidei chachamim. There are talmidei chachamim, and their role is incredibly important, and the honor and respect that they deserve is great. Talmidei chachamim who toil and persevere and spend their lives mastering Torah and understanding it and applying it. But basically, at the end of the day, their contribution is the information that they've been able to imbibe and the direction or the application that they've been responsible for. But there are, in every generation, a few talmidei chachamim who transcend that and who are really able to take a pasuk in the Torah and say, you know what? This particular pasuk, unvarnished, seems to mean the following, but the totality of the Torah teaches us that we have to take a different approach, that we have to understand it more deeply. The global view, if you will, the instinct of the Talmud Chacham is to read the psukim differently. Those are the special Chachmei HaMesorah of every generation, who really are more than the sum of their parts, who are more than, but also, walking Sifrei Torah. And this idea is something which I always associated with Rav Lichtenstein. The Or HaChaim, in last week's parsha of the Chukosai, raises the question why it is that the Torah says in Chukosai plural. After all, what does that even mean? And he has many explanations. One of them is, if we're dealing with the talmidei chachamim, right, special ones, shebechol dar v'dar, right, whose contribution, I'm adding a little bit, is not merely, again, to collect and to apply. That already is an incredible achievement and legacy. But there are few in every generation who can take a chok and turn it into bechukosai, who can be mechadesh within Torah, who can, based on their instinct, their master diagnosticians, who understand the system based on the totality of the system. And that allows them to reinterpret, in some cases, parts of the system in a way, right, that they couldn't if they were more compartmentalized. Indeed, this is what the Rav describes in his famous work, Ish Halacha, a person who begins by pure commitment, a person who throws himself into his learning and becomes an Ish Halacha, basically is mevatel daito ledas hamakom. He adopts a halachic personality, begins thinking in those terms, surrenders his, even derech hachashiva, his mode of thinking to Torah. But once he does that, in short time, he becomes an insider in the system who's able to feel the pulse of that system and consequently is able to innovate from within. Of course, only from within. That's the idea of the Isha Halacha. That's the idea of the Rambam. The Rambam explains that
Well, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us there are different mikzaos haTorah. There's monetary issues, and there are matters of Isur v'Heter, Yorideya, all sorts of different disciplines in Torah and Halacha. And the Gemara says, and the Rambam codifies, that in theory, you could receive smicha, rabbinic ordination, to render decisions in one area and not in the other. Let's say you're an expert in Hilchos Eruvin, but not in Hilchos Nida, or in Hilchos Dayanim, but not in Hilchos Bechoros. So we want to give you only a partial license. However, the Rambam says, based on the Yerushalmi, but it's still very mechudash, the Rambam says, this is true as long as we're dealing with someone who knows Kol HaTorah Kula. He's Roy Lahoros B'Kol HaTorah Kula, then we can limit his practice to one or two confines or areas. But if he doesn't have, not an expertise alone, that deep knowledge, he doesn't have that connection with the totality of Torah, then even the limited license is something for which he becomes unqualified. To know Rav Lichtenstein was to understand this concept, these concepts. Rav Lichtenstein was somebody who had tremendous range, and that again in multiple senses. He was a person of tremendous accomplishment, but at the same time, as I said before, somebody whose focus is very unequivocal, and whose emunah, and whose dedication and commitment to the basic principles was very simple. Not simplistic ever, but simple, basic, and fundamental. He had tremendous range in all sorts of different things. Of course, beginning with, and most importantly, in Torah itself. A command of Shas and the Rishonim, but especially, and this is where the Echachmi HaMesorah and walking Sefer Torah idea comes in, a real keen understanding based on tremendously hard work of the interrelationship of topics and of concepts. Well beyond the usual Bikiyas, this provided in his Shiurim and in his general writing, thinking, certain framework and insight, a perspective which could turn into Chiddush. He had global understanding, not only of the issues, but of the subtle interconnections between them as well. When I first came to Yeshivat Har Etzion, I came in the middle of the year, and the yeshiva was learning Hamafgid. I remember the first shiur that I heard, but it was typical of the other shiurim that I heard, on the topic of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bali Olam, very complex, Dinei Mamonos topic, idea of futures. Right? How do you, can you transact with things that are intangible, something that will have a future value? And I just remember being struck right away that this was something very different than, I was a serious high school student, and frankly, I'd heard shiurim from other Talmidei Chachamim also, and I was an interested person before I came to Eretz Yisrael. But this was something just completely different. This was taking a global topic and putting it in a framework which itself was insightful, which itself highlighted a deep understanding and obviously was fruitful also for further developing the concepts in a very nuanced way. And since this was the first topic, I could say I could have walked in some other topic. Lichtenstein's shiurim were all global. They were all basically Shas-oriented. They were all about putting the particular topic in the framework of the bigger topic, which was put in the framework of some meta-halachic topic in some cases, etc. That's easily described, much more difficult to do. It requires tremendous mastery, but as I say, especially tremendous insight, all of which comes only if you have, number one, a vast intellect, but more importantly, the mental energy to focus and to develop all of that. Something which bespeaks of tremendous chibas haTorah, avas Hashem, and yiras shamayim. Rav Lichtenstein's range was not just Shas and not just the classical Rishonim, but the exotic Rishonim as well. And this is something which his Talmidim all know, but I don't know if sufficiently reflect on, again, the significance and implications. There's a certain, you know, basic repertoire that even serious Talmidei Chachamim have in a topic. The classical Rishonim that are printed on the page, and so on. But the idea of mastering Ravyas and Balaiturs and Yireims and Rabbeinu Yeruchams in an era before computer databases and searches, which make things much easier, in an era before certain specialty books were written that kind of do the work for you, is something very remarkable. And you have to wonder what the implication of that was. Why pursue it? And I think there were many reasons, out of time tonight, to go into all of them. But I think one in particular was simply this commitment to the range. This idea that there's an idea out there, Chach Mi HaMesorah may have said it or expressed it, it needs to be integrated into that bigger picture. So that bigger picture, in turn, can reassess all of the details, all of the pratim. It was a function of Chivas HaTorah, but also, again, of this sense of conviction that the totality is something which isn't just about collecting information, but it's a framework for a deeper and a more compelling understanding as well. To be done properly, this approach requires immense erudition and wisdom, but again, to live and to breathe the system, to discern the filters of the system, etc. Lichtenstein's approach to learning, which is of course the most important thing, that's what he was and that's what he did, Gisa Bayoma Malayla, his asmada and his learning and his asmada and his sheer giving was really a legion and legendary, as people again all know. But as everybody also knows, one of the singular characteristics about him was his mastery also of secular knowledge and control, really, especially of Western thought. And the parallel is worth pursuing, because this again wasn't some sideline. It was obviously relatively less significant than his Torah knowledge, but it was pursued for the sake of, again, adding insights through comparisons, through contrasts, through juxtapositions, through frameworks, which he in particular had tremendous capacity to structure and to build. But once again, his knowledge wasn't just informative, the result of a prodigious memory and some intellectual curiosity, but it was material that he would then kind of work through and re-categorize or classify, and certainly, again, try to integrate so that it could pose a foundation, or could provide a foundation for further Torah insights. That, of course, requires tremendous discernment and, as I say, really an active use of filters. Rav Lichtenstein was intellectually curious. He believed in the interaction of Torah and Mada, but of course, for the purpose of serving Torah. He was very critical about uncritical Torah Mada, and certainly anything that approached themes that were contrary to Torah thought and Torah life. His critique of Ayn Rand and various other things were very, very sharp. He had no tolerance for values and for themes which were antithetical. He understood that it was necessary to identify that sometimes these could provide important perspective, but again, as somebody who was one of the Chachmei HaMesorah and who felt the rhythms of the system, his instinct and intuition is something that determined the level and the nature of the interaction. His capacity to embody Avas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim was something, again, to integrate that with the intellectual part of learning was something that was singular. On the one hand, this seems to be a very obvious requirement. We know that Yeraso Kodemus L'Chachmaso, Lo Am Aretz Chassid, these are basic concepts in Chazal. But by no means
Does the fact that they're required and basic mean that they're common? Unfortunately, in some cases, they can be too rare. But his derech halimud and his public manhigus was one which was characterized by the term integrity in the sense of authenticity, in the sense of integrating different disciplines and different themes and so on, but especially in doing so in a seamless fashion which wasn't compartmentalized, but which was holistic. Yeroso and Sneuso were legendary. Again, many stories have been told just in the last number of weeks. Probably don't need me to add to the stories. But even more subtly, his Yiras Shamayim and his Tznius and his Chesed, his concern for Talmidim, were integrated into his Derech HaLimud. I don't have time because we have to finish in a couple of minutes to go into details. But I think that one thing that certainly should be mentioned is the sacrifice he made in his mode of presentation. Anybody who heard of Lichtenstein's shiurim know that he was extremely methodological, meaning he wouldn't go for the dramatic presentation. The question and then the answer, the dramatic answer, seven questions, one answer, solving all the problems. That wasn't his mode of presentation. It wasn't really his mode of thinking so much either. But I suspect that his method of teaching was a function both of his own personality, the way that he learned and the way that he saw his contribution. But I think also it reflected his commitment to his Talmidim and to a legacy of creating independence and creating love for learning among his Talmidim. When a person presents dramatically, it's very impressive, and it can be very inspiring. But it doesn't necessarily convey to students, right, a method of doing that on their own. Now, Lichtenstein was a firm believer in Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, in the sense of providing independence, tools, so that each one of his Talmidim could find their own Nofech in Torah. And that is an act of chesed, and it reflects a certain philosophy of chinuch, which he consistently followed through on, not only in the way that he delivered shiurim, but in the messages that he tried to convey to his Talmidim as well, in his sichot, in his shiurim on Ashkafa, and in private conversations when people sought him out, and he was accessible in that respect for advice. There's another perspective on the contradiction between the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin and Makos. One of the Mefarshim in the Ein Yaakov suggests that the difference is between somebody who is Oseik B'Torah and somebody who's not Oseik B'Torah. What they mean is something very narrow, meaning while a person is learning, you should stand for him. When he's taking a break or doing something neutral, it's not necessary. But I thought that the phrase Oseik B'Torah integrated into the discussion of walking Sifrei Torah has a very different meaning. And again, the Dmus Diukno of Rav Lichtenstein very much has to do with my thinking. The first of the Birchas HaTorah, as we heard in the introduction, is certainly for Ashkenazim, is Lasok B'Divrei Torah. And the Rishonim asks the question, in general, when a person takes a break from his learning, or he has to go to work, or some other necessary or unnecessary break, how come he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas HaTorah each and every time he resumes his learning? And indeed, there is such a shita. The brother of the Shibali Aleket, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, says, every time you sit and begin to learn anew, you should say another bracha. But we don't paskin that way. Although again, the range is very important. The Rush gives an interesting answer. The Rush says, the reason is because while it may seem that the person has disrupted his learning, in the end of the day, it's in the back of his mind if it isn't in the forefront. I'm not sure whether the Rush meant my understanding completely, certainly partially did, but I think the idea is very simple. We speak about Oseik B'Mitzvah, Potur B'Mitzvah.
The term asek doesn't just mean studying. It doesn't mean a narrow involvement. It means a broader and a deeper involvement. A person who is an osek b'Torah, lasok b'divrei Torah, means to understand what it is that you're involved with, and then by definition, that involvement transcends the time that you're sitting in front of your open chumash or your open gemara. It means to allow yourself to be transformed and therefore to be someone who carries his Torah with him wherever, whether it's working or leisure. The idea of the Rosh is that there really never is a disruption as long as someone is committed. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal was somebody who embodied the concept of Osek B'Torah. He was somebody who was multifaceted, as I say, mastered different disciplines, was involved as a manhig in many different things, many different issues. But to his core, he was somebody who expressed the theme of Osek B'Torah. Not only the long hours that he sat in front of the Gemara, but as important, maybe more importantly, the ability to integrate his learning holistically, seamlessly, and to make it more than the sum of its parts, so that he could return to his Talmidim that Mesorah in a deeper and in an enriched fashion. So that as we embark on Kabbalah Satorah, and we review the lessons of Rav Yosef, Ilav Hayoma Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, and the idea of Yom Atzerta, the day of Shavuos, being a day of Lachem, it's really with a keen understanding that those special people, Shabachol Dor Vador, who brought us to this point, are not merely conveyors of, but they themselves become part of Torah itself. And Ashreinu Shezachinu, that in our generation, every generation, Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Hashgacha reigns on Klal Yisrael, and there are great men. But it's not enough to say that. It's important to understand the singular contribution of each great man, to feel the irrevocability of the loss, but at the same time, that's the Nechama, because of the unforgettable contributions that such people make, to continue to be inspired by their Torah, to feel a sense that Sifsoseim Dovros Bekeber, and for that to be part and parcel of our Kabbalah Satorah as well. Thank you.